Australia's arts sector, like many other countries, was hit pretty hard during COVID lockdowns. The pressure to create and deliver artistic work has been difficult and sometimes impossible. Stresses of the job and inadequate duty of care has resulted in numerous cases of post-COVID burnout. Phenomenon like hyper-independence, where one person takes on workloads meant for an entire team, is not uncommon. With board members of arts orgs and employees both feeling frustrated and tired, it can be difficult to fire up the passion for that the arts sector requires. Kate Larson, an arts, cultural and non-profit consultant who's worked for arts sectors across Australia, Asia and the UK, joins us now to explain the state of the arts in Australia and what can be done to improve it. Kate, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No worries. So, Kate, first of all, I'd like to ask, what's the current state of Australia's arts sector?
Well, I think you just used the word passion, which I think is a really important word to hinge that response on, because the arts sector, like many for-purpose sectors, is propped up on the goodwill and the passion of people who believe, of the people who believe in it most. Which means that we've never been particularly good at looking after ourselves, often sacrificing our workloads or well-beings for the sake of the show must go on. And when that was our business as usual, that was our starting point. Obviously, when you add the fact that the art sector was one of the first and hardest hit of the ongoing, and we talk about post-COVID, but it's really, you know, the ongoing issues of COVID.
Yeah, that's right.
That existing not great practice, all of those things that were sticking points in the past have become kind of rubbed raw, so it's impossible to ignore them anymore. And that's manifesting in, as you say, a lot of burnout, a lot of, and this kind of quiet crisis that's so hyper individualized that it's hard to recognize that it's a crisis at all, I think.
Yeah, and you mentioned, yeah, hyper-individual or hyper-independence. Could you actually explain what hyper-independence is for those of us who don't know?
Well, I think, you know, during COVID, our sector came together in extraordinary ways. We were so singularly focused, we were so singularly shocked that we had, and so necessarily intent on organisational and individual and survival, that we had this central focal point. And now that we're in this new stage of living with COVID, I think those nearly three years worth of exhaustion and delayed trauma have caught up with us all. And what we're seeing is this, when we talk about that hyper-individualised symptoms, is that people are retreating more into themselves. None of us are our best selves right now. We are quite bludgeoned by the last 3 years. But that's manifesting now in very, very personal ways, but very personal ways that are applicable across the sector and beyond the sector, actually. I'm talking to a lot of people in different spaces having exactly this issue.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is, yeah, kind of, I mean, COVID wasn't good for anybody. Yeah, it's that, that's very true. What kind of methods are arts workers and organizations using at the moment to try and combat this post-COVID burnout?
I hope we're on the tipping point of people starting to be able to move towards solutions. But at the moment, I think we're still pulling ourselves out of the muck.
Right.
It's really hard to reset culture when if everyone's so focused on themselves, and you know, we've got a whole lot of people, quiet quitters working to rule. We've got people leaving the sector entirely, and lots more people, and without blaming anybody, lots more people necessarily focused on themselves. But that means to solve the problem, you've got to kind of reset that workplace culture in order to pull together and move forward. So I'm seeing some organisations taking, moving from a less is more to a less is necessary approach.
Right.
To really stop talking about doing less in the future and making some serious decisions about cutting back right now. Because if we perpetually keep saying, oh, we'll do less next year, we may not have the workforce.
Tomorrow remaining. Never comes, yeah. Really. Yeah.
Exactly.
What kind of examples of less is more are being put into practice? What kind of examples do you have for that?
Well, the less is more and then less is necessary. So having conversations with team members right now about their workloads. And, you know, in the art sector, we're really ambitious, right? And we want to do the next big thing and we want to produce the work for our audiences and communities. But if we burn out, then those audiences, communities get nothing. So focusing on that, the people first, the actual people who are delivering the work, the artists and the arts workers, and cutting things out of our to-do list right now. And the other thing that I think we have to do more broadly, and we're seeing a bit of this starting to happen, is that it's really challenging that all this is happening at the same time as that we've never had a more competitive arts funding environment in Australia. So people attempted to put in more ambitious, bigger programs at a time that's a red flag, gigantic risk to go in saying, I want to do more, but actually my team has the least capacity it's ever had. So I think part of it is pushing back against those expectations.
Right,
and
yeah.
Saying, actually, right now we need to focus inwards.
Yeah, that's a really prickly situation. I mean, if it's a competitive era for arts funding, you have the passion because you want to make, you know, the best of that opportunity. But at the same time, you might not have that fire in you at the moment. That's a real catch-22 situation.
Yeah, and because ours has always been a precarious industry,
yes,
and lots of people had to leave creative practice entirely during COVID, and that's, so many of us are so exhausted by that idea that we forget that that's still happening. And
right.
We need to protect that workforce as much as possible. Otherwise, arts practice is going to be something only the independently wealthy can enjoy.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the arts is what helped everybody get through a lot of COVID lockdown. So yes, I mean, very important to have. We're almost out of time, unfortunately. We could talk about this for, you know, hours and hours. For your vision of, I suppose, Australia's art sector, where do you think, or what does the future look like in terms of a more, less is more working environment for the art sector in Australia?
Yeah, I think we need to take this moment to reset.
Right.
I think, and that is speaking back to the funders and the expectations around what ambition looks like, and growth, not meaning growth in size, growth meaning growth of our duty of care.
Right.
Looking after the people who make the work.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds great. And look, Kate, that was fantastic. I'd love to talk even more, but we are just out of time. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
No worries. We've just heard from Kate Larson, an arts, cultural and non-profit consultant, about the state of Australia's arts sector after post-COVID burnout. Whew, seems pretty tough out there for our artists. Hopefully we can make some changes to maybe workplace culture and make it better for everyone and get some great stories, great performances and great artworks out there.